Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Amen. Amen. Hey, welcome to Camden Nazarene. It's good to see you again. Put my jacket on. It's Easter. You may be expecting the pastor to preach in a jacket. So there you go. If you're not, be all right. Come back next Sunday. But hey, my name is David, one of the pastors here, and it is great to see you. And thank you so much for coming and choosing to worship with us on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning. We gathered earlier this morning for our sunrise service at 6:30. And wow, what a great moment we had. There's something about gathering that early in the morning that is kind of painful, but yet also very celebratory. The painful part is getting out of bed when that alarm clock goes off, right? But once we got there, we were grateful to be there, right? No, seriously, there's something about gathering in that time of the morning, that time of the day, and as we celebrate the ladies who went to the tomb on that morning to discover that the stone had been rolled away and that the tomb was empty. There's just something about experiencing that kind of in that same time frame as we worshiped this morning there in downtown Camden, and as the sun came up. And so what a great morning we had, and thank you so much for being here. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there. If you don't have your Bible, what did you think we were going to do today? I haven't used that one in about a year, okay? So, all right, you know, it's been a while. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 12. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand for the reading of God's Word. If you're not able to stand, that's okay. But if you're able to, I'll invite you to stand. Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Amen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered these words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Are you thankful? Amen. Father, we are indeed thankful for the reading of your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to thee, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, here we are. It's Easter Sunday, and we're so glad you're here. We're glad you're here because we've got some pretty unbelievable news to tell you about today. It's unbelievable news, and it's the good kind of unbelievable news, but still, it's pretty unbelievable. When was the last time that you experienced news that maybe left you speechless? Or what was the last time you experienced some sort of, you found something out and you found yourself saying, unbelievable. Maybe something happened and you frustratedly said, unbelievable. But the news I have for you today is not a frustration kind of unbelievable. It is an awesome, it is a great, it is a just want to make you just run and shout and want to go and tell the whole world kind of unbelievable. Do you remember when you got news like that? Maybe it was when you learned that you'd made the team. Maybe it was when you learned that you got that one part in the school production. Maybe it was when you got that phone call for that one job that you put in for, and you put in for it like 3 times, and you finally got that call. And they say, hey, we want you to have this promotion, or we want you to have this job, and you're just in disbelief because you're just so, so excited. I love watching kids trying to tell you something when they're excited, don't you? I've got one, man, he can't even get it out. He used to get so excited. I love seeing kids light up because in their minds and through their eyes, there's just so much unbelievableness to this world. Like I said, today we've got some unbelievable news that we want to share with you. The last few weeks, if you're new here with us, the last few weeks we've been walking through the book of Luke. And we've been probably, I think we're at chapter 7 or 8 that we're going to be in the book of Luke, and that's where we've been. And we've heard and we've followed the ministry of this man named Jesus. We follow the ministry of this one from the town of Nazareth who has come onto the scene. We've witnessed him proclaim the good news. We've witnessed him proclaim what his kingdom is going to be about. And we know that his kingdom is going to be about binding up the brokenhearted. His kingdom is going to be about giving sight to the blind, both physically and spiritually. We know that his kingdom, the teaching of his ministry, is about setting the captives free. This is where we've been on this season leading up into Easter. And this morning we're here to unpack the unbelievable news that this one who said he would set the captives free, this one that gives sight to the blind. This past week we stood in disbelief that anyone would want to kill him, that anyone would want to put him on trial and would want to whip him and spit on him. We looked in disbelief of why would you want to do that to someone who is ushering in good news. Of course, we know that the good news that he brought was a little unexpected from what the folks were looking for. The powers that be, they were expecting some sort of other unbelievable good news. But I'm thankful for the unbelievable good news that Jesus brings. And so this week we watched in disbelief as they mocked him and they put him on a cross. But this morning we also stand in disbelief. We stand in disbelief with the women who went to the tomb and saw it empty there. We stand in disbelief with the disciples who, when they heard this news, they were kind of a little dumbfounded, like, well, that doesn't make sense. And so as we unpack this, we see these women. They not only watch Jesus die, but they go and they prepared his body for burial. And if there's anyone that was going to be certain, that the unbelievable had happened, if anyone was going to be certain that he was indeed dead, it was these women. I mean, they'd been there through the whole process. When they went to that tomb that morning, I don't think they were looking or expecting the unbelievable of an empty tomb to be there. Look at verses 7 and 8. They get there. They find it empty. There's two men there, robed in white, or two men who have clothes that are shining bright, Scripture says. And he's like, what you doing here? Why are you looking for someone? Why are you here among the dead looking for someone who is alive? Look at verses 7 and 8. He says, don't you remember that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again? I love verse 8. I'm telling you, if you're a lady today, ladies today, this is your day because you guys got it right from the get-go. It's the men in the story that need a little help. All right? I'm just being honest here, you know? All the guys are like, well, don't add any more to it, please. Why are you doing this to us? But, I mean, you got to call a spade, and a club, whatever. That's not even how that saying goes. Nazarene pastor just used a poker term in church. But he said, don't you remember that the Son of Man had to be crucified? And I love verse 8. Look at it. What does it say? Then they remembered his words. Turn to your neighbor and say, the women got it figured out. The women figured it out. There you guys a little, there you go. The women, they come to the tomb. All the guys like, we'll get his man card after church. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to take his man card. Wearing an Easter egg blue suit and a crazy tie anyway. The woman comes to the tomb expecting to see a dead body. That they encounter the empty tomb and they kind of become worried. But then they encounter these angelic figures. And I love the application here because what I see here is I believe that Easter reminds us that there are many times in life when we are expecting one thing, but when we allow Jesus to step in, when we allow him to step into our situations, when we allow him to step in to these moments of our lives, we will see how he will turn the world upside down. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He came to turn the world upside down. World that said, if you want to be first, you got to have power. If you want to be first, you got to have money. Look out for yourself. In a world that says that, Jesus shows up and he does the unbelievable. He does the unexpected when he says, if you want to be first, you better be last. If you want to be great, then you better put a towel around your waist and begin to wash feet. So the unbelievable begins to unfold before their eyes. Now, we're in the book of Luke, and I know that for Easter, John is our go-to. John is our team captain of the gospel writers when it comes to the resurrection account. Luke's domain is Advent and Christmas. He's got that covered. That's our go-to. So you maybe came here thinking, hey, where's that John 21 through 18? You should have been there this morning at 6:30. You would have heard it. So there are multiple accounts of what has happened here. And it's not different stories by no means. It's just each gospel writer has their own perspective. They have their own vantage point, if you will. In John's encounter, we see a more of a dialogue between Mary Magdalene and Jesus. And she recognizes Jesus there in the garden. And she goes and she exclaims that she has seen the Lord. So the women who encounter the angels at the tomb, they go running back to where the disciples are. They burst into the house. And Mary confesses with a loud voice that she has seen the Lord. And then also here in Luke's account, they do the same thing. They go and they tell this news. And I can imagine the disciples, man, they're probably feeling pretty down. They're probably locked in, maybe behind some closed doors. They don't know what's going to happen. They crucified the one they followed. Does that mean they're going to come after them next? What does all this mean? And so these women go to him and say, hey, listen. Listen, he has risen. We've been to the tomb. He's not there. You could say that Mary and these ladies, they offer the first Easter sermon, if you will. I'm convinced that this is what happens when we encounter Jesus. When we encounter Jesus, the unbelievable happens. If you want the unbelievable to happen in your life, you've got to have an encounter with the grace of Jesus Christ. You've got to have this life transformational encounter with our Lord and Savior. This is what the women had. They witness the unbelievable happen. So they go and they tell the first Easter story, the first Easter sermon. He is risen. And they encounter a similar problem that other preachers tend to encounter sometimes. Their congregation folded their arms and said, "I don't know about that. Preacher, you sure? Because I know the Bible says that, but, you know, doesn't apply to me. Or preacher, I know you say that's truth, but I don't know. I got a different opinion about that." So the women, they go, and Scripture says, look at verse 11. "But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense." Some translations say, "seemed like an idle tale." To kind of put it in a modern vernacular, they looked at it and said, "That don't make any sense. I don't think you know what you're talking about. I mean, this isn't in the Scripture," but you can almost imagine they can say, "Girl, I think you kind of gone crazy, because that guy," y'all were waiting on that one, "because that guy, Jesus, we saw him die. We saw him get beat. We saw him nail him to a tree. They took a spear and they ran it in his side. We watched the blood and water flow out. We know this guy's dead. I don't think you guys quite understand." Have we gotten to a point where we find the truth of God wanting to transform our lives into the unbelievable? Do you find it hard to believe that God wants to give you a new start? I think there's moments where we encounter the gospel, where we encounter this good news of Easter, and you realize this is good news that we hear every week. I was changing the sign last night from extravaganza, and I said, "Well, I've already got the word Easter up there, so I'll just put worship, and then I can get my point for changing the sign." And so I, Easter worship, and Avery was helping me, and I sit back and I say, "You know what? Easter worship is every Sunday. You know that, right?" Easter worship is every Sunday. It's not just a day. And that's every moment, every week, we come into this place proclaiming the good news that you can have new life. Proclaiming the good news that no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, no matter the unbelievable things that have happened in your life, God can take the unbelievable and he can transform it into things, into good, into transformation beyond your wildest dreams. He can have the unexpected happen in your life. There's a couple responses that I want us to see here. When we encounter the gospel, one, I pray that we're like Mary. I mean, we take off running. When we encounter this good news, I hope that we take off running, wanting to tell someone else about it. And that some of us, maybe we've been walking this journey far too long. We forgot what that day was like when God came into our heart, when we accepted his son as our savior and he transformed our lives. Maybe we have forgotten what it feels like, but I'm telling you, when you are transformed, when that burden of sin and that burden of guilt is lifted off of you, man, it makes you want to run. It makes you want to go. Because the unbelievable has happened in your life. That burden that you never thought you could shed is now lifted. Man, the women, they heard some great news and they were gone. They didn't have a committee meeting about it. They didn't think about it. They didn't talk about it. Which, you know, obviously, didn't talk about it, they just went. Man. Leave that right there. I think what the women experienced, what they experienced on this Easter Sunday morning was this, that dead things don't have to remain dead. Amen. Dead things do not have to remain dead. Whatever's dead in your life, it does not have to remain dead. Because God wants to give you life through His Son. There's another response here that I want us to see. It's a response very similar to Mary and the other ladies. Now, I kind of started kind of knocking on the men because they didn't believe and all this stuff. I caught something this week. And maybe I've caught it before, but it just kind of jumped off the page. Look how this whole narrative ends. Verse 12. So it says that the 11 says, that's unbelievable. That's an idle tale. That's nonsense. But there was one man in that bunch. Maybe it was just curiosity. I want to use my sanctified imagination and say, I think it kind of clicked, at least just a little bit. Maybe a little bit of a light bulb comes on, because look at verse 12. Peter, however, so they say, hey, lady, that's an idle tale. That makes nonsense. Verse 12, Peter, however, this one who Jesus is going to say, hey, I'm going to build my church upon you. This rock that you're going to be a part of establishing the church along with the other disciples. This one who had denied Jesus, but we know Jesus is going to bring him back into the fold. Man, this Peter, however, he got up and he ran to the tomb, Scripture says. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. I want you this Easter morning to, what would it look like for you to get up and run to the gospel? What would it look like for you to run to that good news, to run to the truth and to the fact that God can do something new in your life? Old time believer, this message is for you as well. That, yeah, you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but guess what? The good news is still good. And there's still things to get excited about it. There's still things to get excited about because God wants to use you. When you hear this good news, to get up and to move and to go and to be about the mission of God. You see, that the church at its best continues to be the community of the new creation in a world that is too often headed for disillusion by violence, by abuse, by death and destruction. We're called to be the people of the resurrected Lord. We're called to be the people who are moving, who are going, who are pursuing this good news and taking it to the world. So don't leave here today without understanding that dead things don't have to remain dead. That God is indeed, he's in the business of renewal. And that God wants you to tell your unbelievable story. I don't know what your story is. I don't know the mistakes that you've made. But God wants you to. He wants you to tell that unbelief. He wants to change you. He wants to do a mighty work in your life. And then he wants you to tell that unbelievable story and say, hey, he wants you to go to folks and say, listen, this is unbelievable. This is where I was, and this is where God has brought me to. Hey, let me tell you something unbelievable. These are the dumb things that I did. These are the mistakes I made. These are the choices that I made. But God did this in my life. In fact, just in the last few weeks, I've been thinking about, you think about how do you start gospel conversations? It can be tough. But what if we started conversations? What if we got engaged in a conversation with folks and finally we got led to just say, hey, have you heard any good news lately? And they might say, well, Braves won or, Clemson won or, whatever. I don't know what they'll say. Probably something surface. They might say that, or they might say, well, honestly, I haven't really had any good news recently. And what if that would be our opening and say, let me tell you some good news that's happened to me. To be like Mary, or to be like Peter, and just to take off and start running, pursuing, because the gospel has changed us. You see, because we're here today, dead things don't have to remain dead. We can be transformed because today he is risen. We serve a risen Savior. And I hope that we never lose that childlike wonder, that childlike disbelief, if you will. When I say disbelief, I mean like a good, like just being mind blown. I hope we never lose that, no matter how young or how old that you get. I hope you never lose that. It just blows my mind that God would love us so much that he would look at humanity and he would see nothing but sin. But in seeing just sin, he would then give of himself, and he would send his son to die on a cross. Because to send his son to be that perfect, spotless lamb to make atonement for our sins. Folks, please do not ever allow that just to become ho-hum in your life. Yesterday evening, we were putting this cross up that I want you to go take a picture of that when you leave here. We were putting this cross up in the front, and I was thinking about the gospel story. And y'all, I grew up in the church. I'm a church nerd, okay? I have probably spent more time in a church house than anywhere else in my life. And that's not hyperbole, that is fact. But last night, it really began to like blow my mind. Like, whoa. And so we were reading through last night with the kids, John 18 and 19 and into 20, and you're reading about Jesus being beat and being crucified, and again, mind blown that someone would love us that much. I pray that you live your life like that. I pray that from here on out, man, you just live your life, just your mind being blown about the goodness of the gospel. That someone loves you this much, that wants to give you new life. I want to show you maybe a modern take on what it was like when everyone had their mind blown of this unbelievable news that Christ indeed had risen. Take a look at this.
Long ago, this is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
Let's stand and end our time this way. Proclaiming the good news that he is resurrected and that he indeed lives.
that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow. The One who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see.
Sing Your name.
Your name, Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Fear that held.
The fear that held us now gives way to Him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me.
Your name.
Your name. Your name is victory. Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ.
Sing that chorus again. Your name.
Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
By Your Spirit.
By Your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In Your name I come alive to declare Your victory. The resurrected King,
yes He is
resurrected.
By Your Spirit.
By Your Spirit the tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave. Christ our King, your name is victory. 'cause I know.
Church, receive this good news that Christ indeed does live. He is risen from the grave. Death could not hold his sting. Death could not hold him down. He is the victor. And because of that, you can have new life. Would you go? Would you leave this place with your mind blown? Would you leave this place with the good news that someone, God, sent his son to die for you? And because of that, your unbelievable story can become even more unbelievable as it's transformed by the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Church, that is good news. Would you go in grace? Would you go in peace? Go in wonder of the one who is risen today. You are dismissed.
visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.